Hello, I'm Jim Richards, and I'm here with your World Changer message for this month. I'm telling you, this message that I'm sharing with you this month has the potential to change everything about your prayer life, everything about how you operate faith, everything about how you anticipate the promises of God. I know this name has to be unusual for you, the covenant God did not make with you. You see, knowing and believing the covenant is absolutely essential for us to operate faith. Faith is never about trying to believe for what God might do or what you hope for God to do or what God will do in the future. Faith is based on things that have already been accomplished. They have already been settled and determined in heaven. And all you're doing is establishing that here on earth. You become the vehicle whereby the promises of God are manifest in your life, and you can have absolute confidence in prayer and in faith and in all endeavors in the kingdom realm because you know what's been accomplished through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Now, I'm telling you, if you've never listened to my series, 3 Days That Changed the World, you need to listen to that series because I detail so many things in there about what we have in Jesus, what he accomplished through his death, burial, and resurrection. And you might want to go from that series to the series Identity, Self-Image, and Self-Worth. Really, that series could have been called the In Him series because it's so much about our identity by virtue of the fact that we are in him. Now, a failure to understand the covenant robs us of the benefits of the covenant. Many of our faith failures are when we attempt to function in the promises of God from a prerequisite that actually violates the covenant. You heard me say it right. So many of the things that we have been taught to do in the name of so-called faith actually violate the covenant that God has made in the Lord Jesus. You see, we only have provision in this covenant in Christ. Now, for most of us, that's just a terminology that has no real meaning. It's sort of like tacking in Jesus' name on the end of our prayers. We actually operate no real faith. We have no consciousness of what that means. Therefore, it really means nothing. You see, when we pray in the name of Jesus, we need to be creating an awareness of everything that name means through the death, burial, and the resurrection, through conquering death, hell, the grave, Satan, and overcoming all and being given a name that's above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow in heaven and earth and beneath the earth. But see, we don't do that. We just think of it more as a formula, just a terminology. You see, we are not called to believe about Jesus. We are called to believe in Jesus. Now, as I've said to you so many times, the prepositions in the Greek language are translated at the discretion of the translator. Now, for me, when I come upon a word in the New Testament that could have several different meanings, I try to read every single meaning into it to see how it would express itself. What would it mean if I actually considered every possibility of its meaning? For example, when the Bible talks about believing in Jesus, you know, that could be in him, that could be into him, that could be with him, through him, by him, or for him. You see, so it's not just about I'm believing about Jesus. We have turned believing in Jesus to believing about Jesus. But I am actually believing into him. I am believing about him, and I am believing with him, and I'm believing through him. So in reality, this is about becoming one with him. This is about becoming one with and in him. This is about connecting with Jesus on a level that's far beyond formulas. This is about seeing myself in him in such a way that I can't separate who I am from who he is. I can't separate his victories from my victories. I cannot separate his resurrection from my resurrection. I can't separate him at the right hand of God from me at the right hand of God. You see, when we believe on the resurrected Lord Jesus, as the scripture says, that's really when springs of living water flow out of our inner man. That's when it really all works as it's really supposed to work. When we believe in, on, through, into the resurrected Lord Jesus, as the scripture says. But I'll tell you, at that moment, we are baptized into him, into his body. You see, we are not in his body just because he died for us. We are not in his body just because he's been raised from the dead. We are in his body because we believe into his resurrection. We believe about his resurrection. We believe through his resurrection. We believe with his resurrection. But more than anything else, we believe into his resurrection. And this resurrected position that Jesus now holds, raised from the dead, conquering death, hell, the grave, Satan, all the curse of the law, and obtaining all the promises of God, this is the position from which we are called to live this life. You see, this is the object of our faith. I am in him, he is in me. Therefore, I have all that he has. His victories are mine. I'm telling you, this is phenomenal. And if you really start thinking of this, every time you pray and you pray a prayer in his name, you got to think about what his name means and are you really in him? And is that your trust? Are you praying that prayer, believing those promises are yours because you are in him? I want to just read you a few in him scriptures, and I hope it'll get you thinking so that every time you come upon the phrase in him or in Christ or through him or by him or for him, you'll think about what these scriptures really mean, and you'll think about how they might apply to your life and how they might change the dynamics of your prayer life when you're speaking miracles into existence. You know, John 1:4 says, in him was the life, and the light was the light of men. Man, I think about that. See, the life is in him. The life is not about him. The life is not around him. The life is in him. Therefore, for me to participate in that life, I have to be in him. And it says that the light shined in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. I want to tell you something. Darkness cannot comprehend. See, darkness is darkness of heart, darkness of understanding. Darkness cannot comprehend that we are in Jesus. And because we are in him, we have what he has, and all the promises of God are ours. You know, 2 Corinthians 1:18 says this, and Paul was speaking, he says, as God is faithful, our word to you was not yes and no. I want to tell you something. Most of the preaching we hear today is yes and no. Yes, God will bless you, but no, he might not. Yes, the promises of God are yours, but he'll take them away from you. Yes, no, yes, no. Verse 19, he says this, for the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, me, Silvanus, and Timothy, was not yes and no, but in him was yes. In other words, remember, in him is about being in him. And it says, for all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him they are amen to the glory of God through us. Now he who establishes us with you in Christ as and has anointed us is God, who has sealed us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. Man, I'm telling you what, when you have the abiding awareness that you are in him, I'm going to tell you, you will be unwavering in your confidence about the promises of God. Because after all, you're not really believing that God has given the promises to you. You're believing that God has given these promises to Jesus and that you are a joint heir. Yes, see, you're not really just an heir, you're a joint heir. It's the fact that Jesus received this and you're in him and you share it with him that makes you an heir to all that God has. Man, I love this stuff. I can just go on this stuff for hours and hours. You know, Ephesians 1:7 says, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. See, Jesus was anointed, covered over from head to toe with grace. We experience that grace because we are in him. Because we are in him, we have the redemption that comes through his blood and the forgiveness of the sins. But it's all about being in him. Ephesians 1:11 says, in him also we have obtained an inheritance. Now listen, this starts getting really important here. You need to understand, we do not have an inheritance because we have an individual covenant with God. And we're going to read scripture about that in a minute. We don't have an individual inheritance because we have faith to believe for an inheritance. But we share in an inheritance for one reason and one reason alone, and that is because it is his inheritance, and because we have believed that God raised him from the dead, and we have confessed him as Lord of our life, then we are baptized into his body, and the fact that we are in him means that all that he has is ours. I'll tell you, boy, you read through the book of Ephesians there, and I mean you get covered up with these in him, by him, through him scriptures. You know, in Philippians 3, Paul is saying, talking about his accomplishments, and he says, I count them as rubbish, Philippians 3, 8. Why? That I might gain Christ. Because I want to be found in him. See, not just about him. I want to be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. I want you to understand something. This righteousness that we have, it's not where we're believing hard enough to get righteousness. Jesus obtained righteousness by his faith at the resurrection. And at the resurrection, he received this righteousness. And because we are in him, we have his righteousness. He goes on to say, why? Why not with the righteousness which is of God by faith? So that I might know him and the power of his resurrection. See, Paul told us we need to get a revelation knowledge about this resurrection power, about being in him, about sharing in the inheritance, about all these things that we have in Christ. He says, I want to share in the fellowship of his sufferings. You know, I think he's talking about his sufferings on the cross. See, in him, I share in those sufferings in that the price for my sin has been paid. Being conformed to his death, I died with him. And because I died with him, I am resurrected with him into this new life. That's why Colossians 2:9 says, in him, not about him, not around him, in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. So I'm telling you, this is all about in him, through him, by him, with him, into him. Listen, the children of Israel limited God in the Old Testament, and the primary reasons was that their heart was not steadfast in the covenant that God had made. Therefore, they waffled. They heard the covenant, they read the covenant, they rationalized around it. They couldn't believe the old covenant was good, was really as good as God said it was. So how much more do we struggle with how good this covenant is that we have with God? See, very few 21st century Christians are actually experiencing a very great degree of the new covenant. And I think there's really three primary reasons for this. Number one, believers do not actually understand the provisions of the covenant. By provisions, I don't just mean what's given, but I mean requirements. What is it that we are required to believe to participate in this covenant? Secondly, they don't understand that the covenant is with Jesus and not with them as individual believers. This is one of the greatest misunderstandings I see about the new covenant. I hear people talk about it all the time, their covenant with God, their covenant with God. I want to say, you don't have a covenant with God other than the one that he has established in Jesus. It's just like people talking about my anointing, my anointing, my anointing. God anointed me to do this. You know, the Apostle Paul said, you don't have another anointing. Let the anointing abide on you that you received in the beginning. And that's his anointing because, you know, that's what we live. We live and move and have our being in him. And I'll tell you, the third thing is they just don't believe it in their heart even when they have this information. I want to read to you from the book of Galatians, the third chapter, starting the 15th verse. And I want you to understand this. God made a covenant with Abraham and his seed 430 years before the law was established. And it is this covenant that we now have in the Lord Jesus. You know, I'm for protecting Israel. I want you to understand that. Very much for protecting Israel. But when the Bible talks about the covenant that was made with Abraham and his seed, that is not talking about Israel. And I'm going to show you this. It says in verse 15, brethren, I speak in the manner of men. Though it is only a man's covenant, yet if it is confirmed, no one annuls it or adds to it. So now we have this covenant that's been confirmed. Verse 16 says, now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He did not say, and to his seeds, as in many, but as of one, and to your seed, who is Christ. And he's saying that the covenant that God made with Abraham was not with Abraham and Israel. It was the covenant made with Abraham and Jesus. Verse 17, "And this I say, that the law, which was 430 years later, cannot annul that covenant which was confirmed before by God in Christ, that it should make the promises of no effect." Now you see, people who try to approach God on the basis of the law, they just do not understand that this new covenant that came into effect whenever Jesus was raised from the dead and stood in the presence of the Father, that this covenant was made way back there to Abraham and his seed, and Jesus is that seed. And he is pointing out the fact that this covenant is not made with Israel, and this covenant is not made with believers as in many. It is made with one, Jesus. It says, "For the inheritance of the law is no longer a promise, but God gave it to Abraham by the promise." So the law has no promises in it as far as something being coming to you by promise. It only has something that can come to you by works. Now listen, if you're going to operate faith in the new covenant, then you have to accept the fact that the covenant was not made for you. That's why our beliefs are only valid if they are in Him. You see, that's why we can expect that the promises of God will be ours, because we're in Him. Everything has to be about in Him. We have taken faith and made it all about us. We put ourselves at the center of the equation rather than put Jesus at the center of the equation. Now, listen, and we could spend hours on this. And, you know, I may actually do a verse-by-verse study of Galatians and Hebrews. I'll let you know about it pretty soon. But I want you to realize something. Jesus came. He not only did the will of God so that he was able to receive the last will and testament and put it into place, and when he died, it became absolute. But when he was raised from the dead, he became the overseer of the covenant, the last will and testament that he left to us. And so, as a high priest, what's amazing, he had to become a man, because as a man, that's the only way he could become sin, is if he became a man. And remember, the spirit of the Antichrist says that Jesus didn't really become a man with a real human body. He just sort of became a man. No, I'll tell you something. Jesus became a man. And as a man, he did many, many things. He lived a sinless life, so that he could go to the cross, become our sin. But also, so that as a man, he could be a priest, because the priest has to come from the brethren. And as a priest, he established an eternal priesthood, which means there's an eternal covenant. There's not a change in a priest on a regular basis. Every time you go, you see the same priest, and you always know what to expect. Now, as a priest, he had been tempted. That's why he can be compassionate. As a priest, he had been tempted. That's why he's compassionate. As a man, he overcame sin. That's why he can give us help in our time of need. And as a man, he received the promises. And as a man, he can work authority on planet Earth. If he had not become a man, he could not work authority on planet Earth. It would have violated the Word of God. Now, as I said, because he died, the covenant cannot be revoked. A last will and testament cannot be revoked, or at least in the Bible it couldn't, once the person had died. It can't be revoked, it can't be changed, it can't be negotiated. And because he's raised from the dead, he is the high priest that oversees this covenant. I'm going to tell you something. We have got to see ourselves in him. I mean, when we think about ourselves, we got to realize that, I mean, we got to create some kind of picture. I am in Jesus. I am seated with him at the right hand of God in the heavenly places. I have been raised up with him. His inheritance is my inheritance. I am as he is in this world today. And when we begin to put our faith in Jesus' finished work and the fact that we're in him, an amazing thing happens that simplifies our faith. Then we don't need faith for the individual promises. You see, we need faith for the finished work of Jesus. We need to believe what Jesus accomplished on the cross. He became the curse of the law. He became our sin. He took the curse of the law so that we don't have to take it. You know, when God abandoned him, which some people are denying actually happened, but when God abandoned him, he did that so we'd never have to be abandoned. When he went to Hades, the abode of the wicked, he went there so we'd never have to go. When he used his faith to overcome death and sin and obtain righteousness, he did that so we would never have to fight that battle. When he was raised from the dead by his faith, he did that so we could experience resurrection life right now. When he conquered the devil, he did that so we would never have to fight that battle with the devil. Whenever he sat down at the right hand of God and received this inheritance, he did that so we'd never have to use our faith to get it. So I need to believe in the finished work of Jesus. But then I also need to believe that because he's my Lord and because he's been raised from the dead, I am in him. So I claim my promise based on his inheritance, not mine. I expect miracles in response to my declarations of faith, not because of my anointing, but because of his. I have absolutely no fear of the devil based on his victory, not mine. And I have a clear sense of righteousness based on his obedience, not my obedience. You see, our faith must be in Jesus and the covenant God made with him, not the idea that God made a covenant with me individually. I hope you're getting this, because I'm telling you, if you are connecting to something that's going to simplify your faith, simplify your walk with God, simplify every aspect of this. Because remember, this is all about the covenant that God didn't make with you. And when you give up that idea that God made a covenant with you, you can latch on to the fact that God made a covenant with Jesus. And boy, I'm going to tell you, it's easy to believe in God's faithfulness to Jesus. It's easy to believe in the surety of the covenant that God made with Jesus. Because the covenant is with Jesus, this means that I can't mess it up. I can't make it where God will not answer my prayers because I'm in Jesus. But I've got to have my own personal faith, my own immovable persuasion, my own immovable trust in God. And I'm going to tell you something. That comes when I stop looking at me and I stop trying to make this about me and God, and I start making this about the finished work of Jesus and the fact that I am in him. And see, it's because I'm in him that I have access to the throne of God. It's because I am in him that me and God can talk openly. It's because I am in him that I can know as I'm known. It's because I am in him that I can do everything that he did and even more. Listen, folks, put your focus on the finished work of Jesus. Use your faith to believe that you're in him. And I'm going to tell you something, this all gets easy. I hope this blessed you as much as it did me. And listen, I hope I'm going to see you at World Changer Weekend. If not, I hope I'm going to see you somewhere in America. We're doing a lot of great things. This is the type of message that we're getting out to the world through our Operation 1B. And listen, we're taking some great strides. We're upgrading our video. I need you to help me. We need to actually raise about $20,000-$25,000 to upgrade our video. We're going to HD quality because we want to get it where you can get this on your television set, not just your computer, and then it'll look really good on your television set. And then that way, all of your iGroup people can meet together and you can watch us on television, not have to crowd around a little dinky computer. I want to tell you, God's doing great things. We're trying to follow him. We're just trying to keep up with all the good things that God is doing and all the doors that he's opening. I'm telling you, we're just running as fast as we can go and thanking God that all along the way, every promise is sure, that there's a light shining on their path. We can see where we're going and we can reach the goals and the destination that God has called us to. And we know this, all around the world, we are changing the way people see God. And because of that, people are falling in love with God and they're falling in love with one another. God bless you. Be sure and tune in every Friday night. Always got a great message for you. I love you. I hope I get to see you either in Huntsville or in a meeting somewhere this year.